I mentioned earlier our service was going to be a little bit different, and it is, because the message isn't going to be that long, and I don't want any cheering about that. I was looking for a scripture this week when I was preparing the message, actually when I was planning the message series and things a few months ago, and I thought of that Psalm 3, and I thought that was really appropriate. 2 decades after World War I, which officially ended on November 11th, 1916, the U.S. passed legislation to have a legal holiday on November 11th of each year. And it was designed to honor veterans for their service and for what they had done. And as time marched on, we all know that there were more wars fought, more lives lost, more countries overtaken. But yet, we decided, and I'm thankful that we did, that there was a day set aside to honor all veterans. However, that doesn't seem like enough, does it? Set aside one day for what they've done. And before we personally knew someone who fought in a war, we probably thought Memorial Day was just another holiday. And we could go get some sales on a new washer and dryer, a refrigerator. You know, we see all the Veterans Day sales. And that might have been what it was about. I read a story this week about a man by the name of Bill. Bill could probably be one of many people, but before he went to Iraq, he had a satisfying job as an electrician, and he'd worked for the same company for 25 years. His children are mostly out of the home at that time, and he and his wife were looking forward to their retirement years. But after 9/11 terrorist attack, he joined the Virginia National Guard, believing that the National Guard would probably not be called up since they had not been called up since World War II to some type of overseas duty. But unfortunately, his unit was called up and he left for Iraq and stayed there for 18 months. And the story goes on to say his wife kept busy around the house, taking care of the children, taking care of her grandchildren, taking care of the dogs and the cats and the fish and the bird that they had, as she struggled to be concerned if her husband would return or would he be killed while in Iraq, because she was only getting bits and pieces of information about what was occurring over there and what had occurred over there. But he returned in 2005, and the story says that she welcomed a courageous but radically changed man. And we just heard about the shooting in California. The Marine with what they diagnosed as PTSD. And it sounds like this is what Bill had. He had seen horrific things. Things that were related in the story that are really too horrific to share. But one thing that he saw, someone who had a sign, and they had this particular person that had been executed, and said, this is what will happen to anyone who speaks to the Americans. And see, he goes on to tell about how deep the hatred was for America over there, as he carried bodies past the dining hall of people who had been killed in the dining hall suicide bombing in Mosul. He said the stories could fill a book of things that he had seen and things that he had experienced. He said he cried for parents who had lost sons and daughters. He said he cried for children who had lost parents. And he too suffered from PTSD. And he wasn't alone. And so when we think about that holiday, it's really hardly enough. I think about my dad who was in World War II. Never said a word about it. Didn't talk about it. Didn't want to, I guess. You could ask him a question and he'd change the subject. Just hurt too deep. We can't undo anything that's happened. We can't go back and change it. But we can do the one thing that the Bible tells us we can do. We can pray for those who persecute us. And we can pray for those that desire to harm us. King David, who commanded the armies and trusted in the Lord, said these words, and Nancy read them, but I'm going to share them again. It says, "O Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying, 'God will never rescue him.' But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me. He answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. Arise, O Lord, rescue me. Slap all my enemies in their face. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people." Some question how God can allow tragedies to take place, such as war that goes on, such as murder that happened in Thousand Oaks this week. Strife comes in all different types of scenarios. We look back and even it began, Book of Genesis, when Cain slew Abel, killed his brother. Wars fill the pages of Scripture. Bible talks about the gallant warrior that David was and all the people that he killed, destroyed. And as we read those, we have to keep in mind John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only son that we killed. I mean, people on earth, his own people killed him. And yet, the words echo through the Bible, pray for your enemies, pray for those that persecute you. And you can only do it through a supernatural love that we have from God. We can't do it on our own. God's made it possible for us to know him and to know his love. And so with that, I want us to take a look at what is involved in a flag retirement ceremony. And as we do, and as some of the things that are read and some of the things that are said, let your mind and your heart think about what has occurred throughout history. The sons, the daughters, the mothers, the fathers, the aunts and the uncles that have been lost. And as we retire many flags back there, think about what we can do to ensure freedom for the next generation. A little history behind the flag. General George Washington helped design the first flag. And we all have seen the pictures of Betsy Ross sewing the flag. So we know that she made the first flag, and she made it in Philadelphia in 1776. And Congress voted to make the Stars and Stripes the flag of America in June of 1777. On the 14th day of June. And so that day has been designated as Flag Day in the United States. Our flag has 50 stars on a field of blue, one star for each state, seven red and six white stripes that represent each one of the first 13 colonies. And I've asked different people to read a portion of this, and I'd ask Todd.
The first reading. I swing before your eyes. I swing before your eyes as a bright gleam of color, a symbol of yourself, the picture suggestion of that big thing which makes this nation. My stars and my stripes are your dreams and your labors. They are bright with cheer, brilliant with courage, firm with faith, because you have made them out of your hearts.
I'd like to ask you to join me in reciting the American Creed on the next slide that we have. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the government, a democracy and a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its law, to respect its flag, and defend it against all enemies. Katie, you are next.
The Four Freedoms by Franklin Roosevelt and part of his State of Union address to Congress on January 6, 1941. In the future days which we seek to make secure, we look forward to a world funded upon four essential human freedoms: freedom of speech and expression everywhere in the world, freedom of every person to worship God in its own way everywhere in the world, freedom from want, which translated into world terms means economic understandings which will secure to every nation a healthy peacetime life for its inhabitants everywhere in the world, freedom from fear, which translated into world terms means a worldwide reduction of armaments to such a point and in such a throughout fashion that no nation will be in a position to commit an act of physical aggression against any neighbor anywhere in the world. That is no vision of a distant millennium. It is a defined basis for a kind world attainable in our own time and generations.
Thank you. Debbie, one of the things that we're going to do is we're going to fold the American flag, and there's an explanation of that process and what each fold means. Debbie's going to share that with you.
Microphone, please. Butch, or can you go up to the lectern? Facebook Live people like to hear this.
Have you ever noticed the honor guard pays meticulous attention to correctly folding the United States of American flag 13 times? If you did, then you probably thought it was to symbolize the original 13 colonies. No, Each fold has its own meaning. Fold one is the symbol of life. Fold two is the symbol of belief in eternal life. Fold three is made in honor and remembrance of the veterans departing the ranks. Fold four represents the weaker nature, for as American citizens trusting in God, it is to Him we turn in times of peace. Fold five is a tribute to the country, for in the words of Stephen Decatur, our country, in dealing with other countries, may she always be right, but it is still our country, right or wrong. Fold six is for where people's hearts lie. Fold seven is a tribute to the armed forces, for it is through the armed forces that we protect our country and our flag against all her enemies. Fold eight is a tribute to the one who entered into the valley of the shadow of death, that we might see the light of day. Fold nine is a tribute to womanhood and mothers. Fold 10 is a tribute to the Father, for He too has given His sons and daughters to the defense of our country. Fold 11 represents the lower portion of the seal of King of David, King Solomon, and the glorifies the Hebrew eyes, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Fold 12 represents an emblem of eternity and glorifies in the Christian eyes God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Fold 13, or when the flag is completely folded, the stars are uppermost, reminding us of our nation's motto, In God We Trust. After the flag is completely folded and tucked in, it takes on the appearance of a cocked hat, even reminding us of the soldiers who served under General George Washington and the sailors and mariners who served under Captain John Paul Jones, who were followed by their comrades and shipmates in the armed forces of the United States, preserving for them the rights, privileges, and freedoms we enjoy today. Only two defining forces have ever offered to die for you. Number one, Christ Jesus. Number two, the American GI. One died for your soul, and the other died for your freedom. There are some traditions and ways of doing things that have deep meaning. In the future, you'll see flags folded, and now you know why.
In a few minutes, we're going to go outside and retire the flags through burning them. If you didn't bring one, that's fine. We have plenty back there. I would encourage you to pick up one on your way out and take it out. The ceremony out there will be short, but I would encourage you to do that. I am Old Glory. For more than 200 years, I have been the banner of hope and freedom for generations of Americans. I am the symbol of a country that has grown from a little group of 13 colonies to a united nation of 50 sovereign states. Planted firmly on the high pinnacle of American faith, my gently fluttering folds have proved an inspiration to untold millions. Men and women have followed me into battle with unwavering courage. They have looked upon me as a symbol of national unity. They have prayed that they and their fellow citizens might continue to enjoy life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, which have been granted to every American as the heritage of free men. So long as men and women love liberty more than itself and treasure the priceless privileges brought with the blood of our forefathers, so long as the principles of truth, justice, and freedom for all remain deeply rooted in human hearts, I shall continue to be the enduring banner of the United States of America. The Pledge of Allegiance was originally written and printed in a magazine in 1892. And the question of its authorship was questioned until around 1939, when its authorship was finally attributed to an individual by the name of Francis Bellamy, who happened to be on the staff of that magazine at the time. And we recite it a lot, and we're going to recite the Pledge of Allegiance in a moment, but do we ever stop and really think what it really means? And so here's kind of an explanation of it. I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly possessions to give without self-pity, allegiance, my love and devotion. To the flag, our standard, Old Glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there is respect because of your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. Of the United, united, that means we have come together. States of America, states, individual communities that have united into 50 great states. 50 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose, all divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united with a common purpose, love for country. And to the Republic, a state in which power is given to representatives chosen by the people to govern. And the government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands, this is what our flag stands for, our United States, one nation under God, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right to live one's own life without threats of fear or retaliation, and justice, the principles or qualities of dealing fairly with others for all, which means boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, it's as much your country as it is mine. Let's say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Cindy has the fourth reading.
Nothing but flags, but simple flags, tattered and torn and hanging in rags. Some walk by them with careless tread, nor think of the host of patriot dead that have marched beneath them as days gone by, with a burning check and a kindling eye, and have bathed their folds with their life's young tide, and dying, bless them and blessing. Died.
We have been presented these flags of our country which have been inspected and judged unserviceable. They have reached their present state in a proper service of tribute, memory, and love. A flag may be but a flimsy bit of printed gauze or a beautiful banner of the finest silk. Its natural value may be small or great, but its real value is beyond price, for it is a precious symbol of all that our servicemen and women have worked for and lived for and died for. A free nation of men and women, true to the faith of the past, devoted to the ideals and practice of justice, freedom, and democracy. Let these faded flags of our country be retired and destroyed with respectful and honorable rites, and their places be taken by new flags of the same size and kind. Lastly, let no soldier, sailor, or airman dead be unhonored and unmarked.
Is liberty, our land of the free. The stars are symbols of the united effort and hope of the hearts of many people striving to keep America great. I'm going to ask for some volunteers. We're going to cut a flag apart. We're going to cut the stars out first, and then we're going to cut the stripes out. And we're going to burn those also. But I would like to have somebody that's willing to wield a pair of scissors for me. And four other people to come up and hold a flag for us. I would appreciate that. And I can volunteer people. Give me a cut. We'll cut the stars out first. And then we'll share what each one of the stripes represents. They stand for the original 13 colonies. And we'll share about what each stripe means as we cut it out. The first red stripe stands for Delaware and represents the state of Delaware. Delaware entered the Union on December 7th, 1787. The second white stripe represents Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania entered the Union on December 12th, 1787. The third red stripe represents New Jersey. New Jersey entered the Union on December 18th, 1787 also. The fourth white stripe represents Georgia. Georgia entered the Union on January 2nd, 1788. The fifth red star represents Connecticut. Connecticut entered the Union January 9th, 1788. The sixth red stripe represents Massachusetts. Who entered the Union February 6, 1788. The seventh red stripe represents Maryland. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The eighth white stripe represents South Carolina. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise of religion. The 10th red stripe, words of Abraham Lincoln. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. It represents Virginia, who entered the Union on June 25, 1788. Tenth white stripe represents New Hampshire, entered the Union June 21st, 1788. The 11th red stripe, the right of citizens of the United States to vote, shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex, represents New York, which entered the Union July 26, 1788. The 12th white stripe represents North Carolina. Which joined the Union November 21st, 1789. Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. And the 13th red stripe represents Rhode Island, which entered the Union on May 29th, 1790. And we will take those out also and burn them. Let's pray. Almighty God, you who have watched over us, kept us, guarded us, we ask that you bless this hour, this time together, and you consecrate it and set it apart, Lord. We thank you for our country, its flags, and for the liberty for which it stands. To a clean and purging flame we commit these flags, worn out in worthy service, as they yield their substance to the fire. May your holy light spread over us as we bring our hearts renewed devotion to God and country. Amen. We're going to move outside get three more readings, and then we're going to burn the flags. Once we'll collect we're going to do the offering first, and then we're going to move out there. We wouldn't want to forget that.